You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
Or maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. The gang is all here ahead of Decision Day, hashtag Decision Day. I'm Andrew Wiebe, of course, with me, Dave Goss, out in the Octagon, as you now will have burned in your brain forever, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle. Guys, are we feeling the excitement? It's just a few days away. Sunday, action-packed, man.
Hashtag excited, hashtag blessed, hashtag ready.
There you go. There you got any hashtags for me, Doyle? Is he just had the monopoly on those?
Yeah, I'm gonna let Gasman roll with that. He seemed to be really prepared for it.
Look, one other thing to get prepared for before we talk about Decision Day, and believe me, we will dive right in. No guests on this Thursday or Friday if you're listening on SiriusXM. That's because it's so important to us that we didn't want to cede control. I wanted to have all 50 minutes. Just for us, and that might be selfish, but you know what? Go ahead and call me selfish. But a little bit of a bookkeeping thing. We are going to have the ETR Book Club.
Literally bookkeeping.
Back. It's going to be back. It's going to be better than ever. Ahead of the November World Cup qualifying dates for CONCACAF, ahead of the U.S. start their quest to get to Russia 2018.
Yeah, early opportunity to get your Christmas list out there, right? Yeah, because we're going to do a couple November, December into January so you can get some books on your list. This book is Das Reboot.
Yeah, How German Soccer Reinvented Itself and Conquered the World. The author, you may know him, Raphael Hugenstein. Look, it's all about how Germany became the power they are right now. If you just got turned on to soccer, even in the last probably 10 years or so, you may not be familiar with the dark ages, so to speak, for the German national team program. They got it right. They won a World Cup. Jurgen Klinsmann was a big part of that process. It's a perfect book, I think, for our audience, for the worldwide audience. We're going to have the author as well, and we're still figuring out when exactly this is going to drop. We're also going to have a couple free copies of the book. So if you have thoughts, for sure send them to us at Extra Time Radio, extratime at MLSsoccer.com with those. If you want a copy of the book, only one way to do it, mailbag. That's where we give away the swag. We got some good stuff to give away, including a couple copies of the book. We've got some great stuff coming up in the mailbag today as well. I asked for some MLS Halloween costumes on Twitter. There's some great stuff. A certain Al Ocasion has been suggested multiple times. We'll see what people came up with. But let's get right to Decision Day, hashtag Decision Day, hashtag blessed, whatever you want to go with on that. Hashtag positive vibes, I think, if we're going to go straight down the MLS wormhole there. It starts off with the Eastern Conference, and there was a little bit of a change here because it was supposed to be 5-5. Five out East and five out West. The five out East at 5 p.m., FS1 carrying this. The game they'll carry is Columbus, D.C., though they'll jump into all the games. At 7 p.m., it'll be on ESPN. That game will be L.A. Sporting Kansas City. They'll jump in on those games, too. But now it's 6 because they move Chicago Red Bulls to 7 because that way it matches up with that Dallas game. The Supporters' Shield is at stake. They wanted those to go together. Before we jump into the Eastern Conference games, universal praise for this move. I think it's the right move. Yeah. Doyle, what do you think about this move when it dropped?
I loved it. Because it highlights the Supporter Shield, and I was on the periphery of that group almost 20 years ago now, the group of fans that made the Supporter Shield a thing, and it's always been one of those things about the league. They've always been pretty good at listening to the fans on stuff like this. So just seeing the sort of outpouring on social media in the past 4 or 5 days, and watching, you know, see the league is still responsive after all this time, it did make me happy. It brought me back a little bit. I felt like it was in the 90s again.
The 90s. If you don't know about the history of the Shield, MLSsoccer.com is where you can find it. We got a great piece from Jeff Crandall on that as well. It's an interesting beginning, to say the least. Let's just say it started back before the days of big soccer. A bunch of fans getting together decided they need something to honor that regular season winner. So check out the history of that at MLSsoccer.com. We'll talk about that game in the second segment along with all the Western Conference games. Let's jump into the East. We'll start with Orlando and Philly at 5 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live. Look, this one doesn't feel like there's much to it. Orlando basically needs a miracle to get in the playoffs. At this point, it's New England's spot to lose. Here's the scenario for you, just to familiarize yourself. New England are up 3 points. So Orlando would have to win and make up basically 8-goal differential to get up into this. And that, frankly, isn't going to happen. So New England
reminds me a little bit of the Confederations Cup in 2009 when the U.S. needed to beat Egypt by 3 points and hope that Italy or by 3 goals and hope that Italy lost to Brazil by 3 goals. And of course, that happened, and that set up the run against Spain and then the heartbreaking final against Brazil. So miracles can happen.
Charlie Davies was part of that, although this time he would be on the opposite end of the miracle.
That's true. Well, you're stretching for miracles right there.
I'm just saying.
Look, let's make this a little bit wider. Philly, we know there's some things going on with them. They're looking for a new technical director. That process is ongoing. Some news coming out on that. Jim Curtin, it looks like we'll probably end up staying there. And I think the right decision for them as they start to build, rebuild once again, it seems like. Maybe not a rebuild, but continue to get that culture to where it needs to be. Let's look at Orlando, though, because a lot of people, I don't know if expected is the right word, but a lot of people thought they were going to make the playoffs. And I think most observers said, oh boy, that's going to be a pretty tough one for them to pull off. But they had a great run here at the end of the season, Dave, and they really started to show what they can do. 5 straight wins at this point. If they win here, they'll just barely miss out on the playoffs. Look at their season. How did they do? Is this a net positive?
I think so. I think if they didn't make this run or if this run occurred in May, the conversation might be different. But because they're finishing strong with young players that they banked on that are now showing that they can play in MLS.
And now someone's like, they're healthy. I mean, just...
They're healthy. Yeah. So that was always going to be a conversation because they had major injuries, of course, with Kevin Molino. They have a huge hole at center back that I think that they're going to fill. They have some young pieces at fullback. That's exciting. And then Rivas, Rochez, and Laren proved that they could be different. Well, I don't know that Rochez proved that yet. But that they can be difference makers in this league. Kaká was much more durable than I thought he was going to be this season. And you're going to have Kevin Molino coming back. Mm-hmm. Breck Shea has proven that he's a difference maker. So there are pieces there, and there are simple pieces there. I think now there's pure confidence in Adrian Heath. There was confidence on him coming into the season. I think that may have wavered throughout the season from fans, not from the front office. And I think now going into the first off season as an MLS, coming back next year, you're going to have your stadium opening as well, which is always a boom that we see for teams. They always get a boost coming off of those. I think they're set up very well. And even though they did not make the playoffs, I would say that this season's a success.
Miracles do happen. You told me miracles do happen. Kaká
will
not be in.
Listen, you got to believe. Yeah. Tug McGraw in 1973 said it. Sorry.
All right,
had to get
right.
a Mets
believe,
moment in
believe,
there.
Believe, Orlando fans. No Kaká on this one. Matt, very quickly, he kind of mentioned there center back being a place that he would look at if he was Orlando as far as upgrades go. What's the one place when you look at this roster you say they need something more? This is where I would put my efforts.
It's a good question. I would have said center back throughout most of the year, but I actually thought they've kind of St. Ledger and Colon and the Spanish guy have actually had a couple of good moments. So I don't think that's a glaring weakness for this team right now. I think as with almost every expansion team, you just want them to get another year and get some chemistry. And to Adrian Heath's great credit, almost every young player on this team improved throughout the course of the year. Rivas is a much better player now than he was 4 or 5 months ago. Laren is a better player now. Rochez is a better player now. Rafael Ramos, the right back, is a better player now. So I think when you see that type of progress, I don't think you go into the offseason saying, what pieces can I add? You think, how can I make the pieces that we already have work together even better?
Certainly a
and
good
this
start
is a
for
club
Orlando.
That when we were looking at it early on or right now, looks like they have pieces coming through their academy that could be difference makers at the MLS level. So they may not have to go out and find guys consistently. They might have playmakers and players that could be difference makers in their system that are going to start coming through.
Certainly
the next
depth
few years.
Always something that expansion teams have to work on. That takes years in MLS with all the different acquisition mechanisms. Let's talk about the Revolution because they're the ones trying to get this final spot out east. Like I said, it looks like they basically have it, believe miracles, blah, blah, blah. But they're going to play New York City FC. And this is where some of the most interesting news this week came out in MLS. Grant Wall reporting that there are rumblings that perhaps Jason Christ will not be around in the Bronx for more than one season. That's Patrick Vieira rumored to be the guy that might come in. I hear you, Matt. You have something to say there? I mean, there's probably a lot to say.
You hire Jason Kreis because he did such a wonderful job building a winning team, a winning franchise in Salt Lake City, and then sort of prizing stability and continuity from year to year. And when he doesn't make that happen in 1 year, you let him go. That is the definition of insanity. You can't have plan A over a 4 year time span and then scrap it at the end of year one. It would be crazy for NYCFC to dismiss Jason Kreis.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the same boat. But you look, internal politics, club politics, we've seen the influence that Manchester City and the City Football Group have had on them. A Patrick Vieira guy in their system that looks to be groomed for some higher position. We'll have to see how that one plays out. But Jason Kreis, a guy that I think a lot of teams would jump on if he was available. You certainly would believe the Chicago Fire would be all over that one. They've got their open coaching position. Brian Bliss said this week that he'd love to be in that spot. So we'll see what happens with Jason Kreis. We'll see what happens elsewhere. New England, if they win or if they draw, they're in. So that's what they're going for. We'll see what happens to them this week. And the game on FS1, the primary game here, is Crew DC United at RFK Stadium. If there's a winner in this one, they will take second place and thereby the bye out of the knockout round, and also have home field advantage in that conference semifinal. Kai Kamara won't play in this one. Pipa Higuain won't play in this one. How much did we talk about that on Monday's show? Because it's still sticking in Kai Kamara's craw, Dave. He's not happy about this. He's extremely upset, and I rewatched the yellow card again today. I can see why he's not happy. This seems like a decision that's robbed us a little bit of the drama of both this game in particular, but also the Golden Boot.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Crew are going to win this one anyway. They've performed when Kai Kamara has been the only piece that has not missed at all. He has been unbelievably consistent for them this season in terms of health. He hasn't gone away with national team. So they haven't missed him. So that, I guess, is a little bit different. They're going to go with Schoenfeld up top, which is always fun.
Hey, he did some good work last year.
And he had a flick on this, you know, in the last game. But the Crew have shown an ability outside of maybe Will Trapp to replace players and still be able to perform at a high level. And so I think that it's unfortunate in the Golden Boot race, but Giovinco was going to win that, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You never know. He could have dropped that hat trick. When you look at this game, Matt, you know, there's serious stakes here. Getting that bye is very, very important. And I have to imagine that it might be more important for DC United. Am I off there?
Chris Rolfe doesn't agree.
Yeah, Chris Rolfe doesn't agree, but I think Chris Rolfe is wrong. I mean, DC's got some old legs, and they need to have as many days off as they possibly can, especially because they were swamped with CCL play in August and September as well. So they put on a lot of miles this year. And I actually kind of like the way they match up against Columbus, because DC's at their best when they have their wide midfielders sort of driving direct at goal. Guys like Rolfe when he plays out there, Pontius and De Leon. And the Crew let you do that because they push both fullbacks so high up the field. So this is something that, like, this feels like one of those classic DC games where they get a goal inside 25 minutes and then just hold on for dear life. You know, and maybe sneak out of there with a 1-0. I wouldn't rule that out at all.
Now, and then you'll get the, we'll certainly get some mail from that one. Hey, you guys doubted us all year long. Benny probably drop it in the post-game presser. I mean, look, if they spend most of the summer being decidedly average and then still get a bye, still get a top two seed out east, that's certainly a big success for DC United. Maybe have better luck in the playoffs than they have in some of these recent years. The other game that could swing things as it pertains to the byes and the conference semifinals and who even hosts a knockout round game is what I think the best game out of the weekend out east, and that's Montreal-Toronto FC. Stade Saputo 100% sold out. No doubt about that. They got that one dropped a couple days ago. This is it's a big derby match up there in Canada, and it's for a lot here. Look, if Toronto FC can win this game and Columbus DC draw, correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, I believe that they will jump up into that bye, into that second spot, and that would be quite the quite the accomplishment for Toronto FC. First of all, you know they want to have a game at BMO. They want to see if they can fill that place up. But to skip the knockout round and to skip the potential misery of being dropped there, that would be very big for them. Montreal cannot do that. I believe I said on the last show that they could jump into it. I was wrong about that. I got my math wrong. You look at these tables. It's not exactly easy to decipher all the time. So they've got an opportunity
there
to host.
Montreal and TFC, they both have the opportunity, if they win, to host the playoff game, whether it's a play-in game or it's the conference.
Knockout round.
Yeah. Right. So that's all that matters. I think especially for two fan bases that have shown, one, that they've been through a lot, and two, that they've both shown that they can create a great atmosphere at home. We're seeing it at Stade Saputo now. We saw it in CCL. BMO has always been one of the best atmospheres in MLS. The fans deserve a home playoff game to come out and celebrate. So it's a must-win between rivals with two of the now biggest stars in MLS going against each other. I agree with you. I think that this is the game to watch.
TSN 4, TSN 5, RDS up there in Canada, MLS Live here in the States. It's definitely one you'll want to catch. Matt, who's got the advantage in this one? You're looking at on the field. I mean, Montreal playing very, very well with Didier, but you're going to see Josie come back, I expect, for Toronto. This is kind of their last hurrah before hitting the playoffs.
Yeah, and I feel like Toronto almost needs that extra midweek game because I still don't know what their best lineup is. You know, I know that if Josie and Jovinko are out there, you probably want to play a 4-4-2, and you have Bradley and Cheroux in central midfield, but when they've done that, they've looked really vulnerable against teams that play a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 because they just get swamped in central midfield and give up a ton of counterattacking opportunities. So here we are. It's the end of October. It's the, you know, moments leading up to decision day. I still don't know what Toronto FC's best formation is. So they need to get it right real quick. And win or lose, I actually think they are better off for having the play-in game to start their playoffs just because it gives them another 90 minutes to sort of work together.
Well, we'll see what happens. In Montreal, all these games out east, 5 p.m., the main one on FS1, Crew DC United. But if you watch that one, you're going to get jump-ins to all the other games, all the goals, all the highlights. As things move and shift, that's where you'll want to be. You can also follow on MLSsoccer.com or on Twitter. We've got a huge, huge package for you. Hashtag Decision Day is how you can chime in and get your voice as part of the mix. And a 3:30 p.m. live show to kick things off on Sunday. Thomas Rongen, Russ Thaler, Matt Doyle there. I'll be on it as well. And maybe that'll sell you. I don't know. What's up? One thing before we get out?
I just want to say real quick that what Matt Doyle said was insane. Because if you can get a bye to go farther in the playoffs, you take the bye to go farther in the playoffs. But that's all. Continue.
No Chris Rife disciple there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, all of the Western Conference games broken down. Plus, that Supporters Shield race, who's going to take it?
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys, Matt Doyle, Dave Goss, I am Andrew Wiebe. We talked about the Eastern Conference, but now it's all about the West here for this Decision Day preview, hashtag Decision Day, I should say. Remember, use that hashtag on Twitter, and you will be part of a much, much larger conversation. Oh, and 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, live show. I just had the pleasure of talking to Thomas Rongen. He's got some stories. He has more than a few stories. Good luck tearing yourself away from that guy once he gets started. But don't tear yourself away from us either. We've got a Western Conference preview coming for you right now. The East, it's pretty much locked up. The West, there's three spots still open. The four teams competing for those three remaining spots are the Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders, Sporting Kansas City, and San Jose Earthquakes. One of those teams was in action on a Wednesday, Matt, and it was Sporting KC. And the expectation at Sporting Park against the Colorado Rapids, who do have a good defense but have struggled some this season, was that they would get a result, was that they would make their path to the playoffs a little bit easier. They didn't do it. 2-0 losers, one of those goals scored with Colorado down a man. This was not a great performance. Now they got to regroup on the weekend against the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think the saving grace for Sporting might be that the Galaxy have been just as bad over the past month as Sporting have. And really, it comes down to energy and sharpness. If you look at the way that they move the ball in midfield, they don't drive it forward with the same sort of relentlessness that they had earlier in this season. And they turn the ball over really sloppily. And that's, I mean, that kills you late in the year. And we've seen it before. We know they play a high-energy style. We saw them sort of fade down the stretch last season. It almost feels like even if Sporting get into the playoffs, it's not going to be a long stay.
On the flip side for LA, Bruce Arena, after the Portland loss, speaking to reporters, said it wasn't tactical, their loss. It wasn't anything more than I thought. Portland's desire to win that game and fight and work was much greater than ours. When asked if his players take any lessons from it, he said they're all adults. They don't have any more lessons to learn.
Adults, but Matt, the tactical side would seem to be with the additions and how that's affected chemistry and how that's affected relationships on the field. Steven Gerrard and Giovanni Dos Santos were basically billed as the guys that would turn this team into the Galacticos. And there were a lot of people, I think, that saw those moves and said, oh boy, LA again. We're going to be back at the StubHub Center come December. We're going to be seeing Robbie Keane lift another cup. You think that may not be the case?
Well, I do. And look, I'm one of those people who was really impressed by the signings because I expected Gerrard to play with a little more commitment than he's shown, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But if you go back and you look at those goals that LA conceded to Portland, I mean, the Timbers are waltzing right down Broadway. And Gerrard is not putting in the type of work that Marcelo Saravas put in last year. And Juninho can't cover the whole pitch. You know, he's not superhuman. So I think that is the big problem. The other problem is that Dos Santos and Keane kind of want to be the same player. They want to pull off the front line and receive the ball in space. But when they both do that, the defense can track them a little bit easier. So now you got the offense going off the rails as well. It's not going to be easy because I don't think Bruce can really bench any of them at this point.
No, probably have to stay in that lineup. If they win, though, in this match at Sporting Park, they will clinch second. They will get that bye. That's a big thing, as we discussed in the last segment, unless you're Chris Rolfe. That may be just our kind of go-to asterisk on any of these from here on out. But if they tie, Portland or Vancouver can jump them.
Right, and I think it would be big because they're a team with some older legs, some people that have traveled with European qualifying and things like that. But
we also know how important it is for them to be at home.
Right.
This Portland,
but Matt, you just said offensively it might be off the rails, but wouldn't Galaxy fans say, didn't they put up 5 goals multiple times since those DP players have come together? I mean, why is it falling apart now, or is it just because they lost to Portland by a lot?
Well, you get scouted. You know, the Galaxy's attack has been lousy for a month and a half now. You know, just going back to end of August, they shut out, what, 3 straight times? Then they had that nice win over Dallas, and now they've scored, you know, they've had a couple goals against Portland, but that was more Robbie Keane being Robbie Keane. I think ideally you put Dos Santos on one flank, and I'm not sure what you do with the other. I guess maybe Zardes, but Dos Santos doesn't defend at all. And that means you kind of can only play him as a forward, but you could also only really play Keane as a forward. And suddenly you have these two guys who are really talented creators, but not great defensively. And you don't want Keane going up physically against a lot of the center backs in the league. And suddenly you're a lot easier to build against. And I think that's what teams figured out between the end of July and the end of August. And the Galaxy haven't had a response yet. And this is one that has to come from the players. I think Bruce is right about that. The effort has to be greater from their DPs.
And it sounds like they're going to ride Alan Gordon to an MLS Cup championship this season. That's what Matt Doyle's telling
us. Hey, man,
us.
He's got a broad back. Get on the back of Alan Gordon. Hey, look, Kansas City will certainly take advantage of that space up the middle if they leave it, if Gerrard is not getting back, if Dos Santos leaves it open. They did not have that against the Rapids. Pablo Mascherini, I got to say, a very, very, very good result on the road. I thought their tactics were spot on. They did not go out and pressure the ball. They did not give Sporting Kansas City what Sporting Kansas City wants. And then they let them be sloppy, and they broke and they scored off it. So a good performance.
They also probably cost themselves a number two pick in the draft.
Oh,
so it was kind of a Pyrrhic victory for
that
for
was
the
a
Rapids.
Very NBA fan way to
yeah,
see that.
Yeah, hey, it matters.
Doyle.
It matters. It certainly does. Let's keep it moving and go down the list here. One note on Sporting Kansas City's side: if they beat LA, they get in. If they tie, and then either Seattle or San Jose lose, then they're in as well. So there's some scenarios for them, but they've got to get a result in this game against the Galaxy and hope for some help as well. Portland and Colorado, they'll also be on this one. By the way, that Sporting KC LA game, that's the one on ESPN. They will jump around everything else. You can watch all of these games, though, at that 7 p.m. hour on ESPN3. So if you want to jump around, bust out the laptop, maybe dual screen that thing.
I mean, ESPN3 also allows the function for you to have multiple things up at one time.
Yep.
So you can have like five games.
You get your fill. You can get your fill. It's a tough watch, but you can do it. Portland hosting the Rapids. They need to get it done here. They could go anywhere from second place in the West to out, which is downright incredible with one game left for the Timbers. What do we see here? I mean, they can clinch with a win or a tie, so they just got to get a result. It's in their hands. We talked to Caleb Porter on Monday. He seemed calm. He seemed sick, but yeah. He seemed calm.
Well, he has this new formation, and this formation is going to create goals because he has all of his best attacking options out there. The other thing that he really liked about it is Nagby in the middle of the field allows them to control possession more. So that doesn't mean that they have to sit back and play for a tie here because they have the ability to control the ball, not give up a lot of opportunities. I believe Alvis Powell's back in this game, which I don't necessarily know. And Matt, if this is a good thing, I thought they looked really good being a little bit safer and having Viafania attack against LA. I think sometimes he's too much of an attacking fullback as Alvis Powell, and he exposes his center backs a little bit too much. But I think Portland should be able to get themselves in the playoffs. I don't think that should be a question right now, right?
No, the only question for me is what happens on set pieces. Because I could see Colorado going into this game and just playing 4-5-1, low block, basically bunker and play for a win on restarts. And they have the guys to do it, and we know that Portland traditionally struggles on restarts. And they've also struggled recently to score at home. It's worth mentioning that both their big wins last week were on the road against teams that were kind of trying to take it to them a little bit and leaving space in behind. Colorado's not going to do that.
They also didn't
sit back.
They didn't make this 4-1-4-1 change until the RSL LA games on the road. So that right. And it was the issues offensively against KC, I think, that forced Caleb Porter's hand.
The thing I think that Portland has that Kansas City don't, I think they have more creators in that middle part of the field and farther up the field that are comfortable under pressure, comfortable fitting through those tight spaces, because that's what Colorado's going to do in this game. I don't really think that they'll change from that Sporting KC game, Matt. I think you're right. I think it's going to be the low block. They're going to say, hey, can you fit the ball through these tiny, tiny gaps? If you can, we'll collapse numbers on you. If you can't, you better not make a bad turnover because we're turning the other way. A big match for Portland trying to get into the playoffs. Like I said, they could have a bye. They could be out. A lot of things could happen. It's very, very interesting stuff. Vancouver, they are definitely in, but they're shooting for that bye as well. They're trying to get the second seed. Of course, FC Dallas has that locked up. We'll talk about them a little bit when we talk Supporters Shield. But the Caps are 5 games winless heading into this. They need seeding, but more than that, Matt, they need a little bit of confidence. Pedro Morales, also a question mark, not just for this game, but perhaps the playoffs. Where do they stand? This was we praised them for the first, well, two-thirds of the season, and then it's kind of fallen off.
Yeah, it has, and it comes back to goals from their forwards. I think Octavio Rivero had 3 in March and 2 in April, and 1 goal a month ever since then. I don't think Darren Maddox has scored since March. And part of that is the lack of playmaking. But this is like, these guys are getting paid to put the ball in the net and they're not doing it. You can only win so many 1-0 games. Eventually at some point you have to put the hammer down attacking wise.
Something that worries me for Vancouver, and if I was a Vancouver fan, Carl Robinson goes with a lineup on the road against FC Dallas in the last game that he hasn't played the entire season. this isn't the time where you want to try and figure something out, right? This is where you want to be revving up to go. He played, it felt like he played four holding midfielders or four defensive midfielders in that game. To Chara's not in the starting lineup.
But that's all he has. All these guys are injured, you know, like Mosquito, Morales, I think Teixeira and Rosales are carrying Knox as well. Like, these guys, I thought they were one of the deepest teams in the league, but now they're the walking wounded.
Forced or not, those changes, makes it tough for Carl Robinson. We'll see what the Caps can do. They are at home against the Houston Dynamo. They need a win here. If they win, they got a good chance of moving up, as long as LA don't get a win themselves. If they draw, still a chance there, because they do have more wins than the Galaxy. We'll just have to see. This is one of those at 7 o'clock. This is why you got ESPN3, because things are going to change. The bracket's going to change from minute to minute. Of course, you can go to MLSsoccer.com and check out our live bracket, the live seating, the live scenarios. That'll help you get through all these games, see how things go.
Is there any of these teams, and this is coming from three people who aren't fans of any of these teams, that you'd feel bad when you look at the standings on Monday and you say, oh, like Portland, Seattle, KC, San Jose didn't make it?
I think Vancouver probably is the team that you'd look at and
but they're going to make it. They already clinched.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying if they don't end up doing anything, or if they don't get a home game, especially,
right?
Because based on those first two thirds, apart from the other ones, I wouldn't feel bad for any of them. I think they're all in the same place. They all made their beds. You know, you can't. There's nobody out there that you're like, man, the plucky underdog almost made it. I'm not seeing that. And
you don't feel that way about San Jose?
No, I don't. I don't think
I feel that way a little bit about Portland, especially because they're playing this game without Valeri, who got just the dumbest yellow card of all time against LA last week for kicking the ball away, delaying a restart. So he's suspended for this final home game, which could just absolutely kill them. I mean, I've enjoyed watching this last 180-minute renaissance of some approximation of Porter ball. They have so much speed. I love the way Adi's playing. And they use the ball really well. So I hope we get to see more of them. No offense to San Jose, Seattle, or Sporting, but it would be a little bummed if we didn't get the Timbers in the playoffs.
I did forget about that yellow card for Valeri.
Yeah.
That does affect, obviously, their ability to break down that.
Right, but they're still going to stick Nagby in that hole. And
yeah, they are.
The minor miracle, or full-on miracle, that's already occurred is Diego Chara not picking up a yellow card against LA Galaxy last week.
Yeah.
I mean,
the one guy you would have bet the house on.
12 minutes in, you're like, yep, this guy's not playing next week.
Yep. Seattle, definitely not what you would call an underdog. I bet there's a lot of fans out there that wouldn't mind if they didn't make it. Believe me, Sounders fans, we're not anti-Seattle. You keep accusing us. That's not the case. They take on RSL, who are out of it at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, you can watch that on ESPN3. Of course, we're looking at maybe a fully healthy Marco Papa, maybe a fully healthy Nelson Valdez. O'Neill Fisher may be back. Probably means no more Freiburg on the wing, but it's still just a big question mark with the Sounders. I feel like for the last 2 months, this is all we've been talking about. They can clinch with a win here. RSL doesn't seem to have a ton to play for. I don't think Beckerman is going to play in this game.
Yeah, he's suspended.
What's that mean, Dave? I mean, if they don't win, this is a disaster, right? If they don't win, if they don't make it in front of what is expected to be a huge crowd.
Yeah, I think. Isn't Seattle in that point where it's like if they don't make a run at MLS Cup, it's going to be considered a disaster?
Right, that was what it was all about this year, huh?
And they've brought – and then – so that's what it was about. Then they stumbled through the season. And then they went out and they brought in three sort of big signings in the summer. Obviously, Torres gets hurt already. Ivancic settling. Valdez struggling with an injury. But that I think their fans have high expectations. They want to see something new. They've won Supporter Shield. They've won U.S. Open Cup. They want to play in an MLS Cup. I don't – think this team is good enough, and Doyle has said that, but they definitely have the talent that if they click and they're healthy, they can get it
done. Yeah, who knows what happens when they hit the playoffs. Like, it's not just a win that'll get them there either. If they tie and either the Quakes lose or draw at FC Dallas or Sporting KC lose or tie against
if any other team in the running loses or draws and Seattle is points ahead of them, then Seattle gets through.
Yeah, look, the scenarios are there, and you go through them, and it's if this and then and that and or. I mean, it gets very complicated.
One thing I will say about Seattle, which I clearly didn't word very well, though, is the way Doyle talked about KC, that even if they get in the playoffs, it doesn't look like they could really threaten. I don't feel that way about Seattle. I'm not saying they're going to make an MLS Cup run, but I do feel like if they can get themselves in, they have a chance to win every single game that Obafemi Martins is on the field.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Look, something will be passed out on Sunday, and it will be the Supporters' Shield. Whether or not the team that wins it actually gets to lift it is a big question mark at this point. The word on the street from the Supporters' Shield Foundation, remember, this is owned, managed, the whole shebang by supporters, by fans. Word on the street is that it will be in Chicago where the Red Bulls will take on
the Flyers.
As
it should be.
Yep.
As if you put yourself in position to control your own destiny, it should be that you have the option to lift.
So let's go over that. They control their own destiny. Why? It's because their goal differential is better. Both these teams on 57 points. Both of them tied on wins. So those are the first tiebreaker there. Then it's goal differential. Red Bulls have a better goal differential by a pretty significant portion. So if they win, it appears that they will be the ones to hoist it. Luckily, we'll get to both see them both go at the same time. Matt, you think Red Bulls are going to take this thing? You're a Metro guy from way back in the day. Is this thing going to happen?
Which means you'll clearly know that they never win in Chicago. Right.
Exactly. That was the first thing I was going to say. Toyota Park is a house of horrors for the Red Bulls. Even though this looks like on paper, it's a game that they should win pretty comfortably. But we've already seen the Fire give them a ton of trouble this year. I think New York's played the best soccer in the league, start to finish, other than I think one bad five-game run in May. I think they have an identity. Unlike some of the other teams, they haven't been sort of running out of energy, you know, running on fumes. And the highs haven't been so high, and the lows haven't been so low, so they've just kept churning out points. But they have this one fatal flaw. They let speedy wingers get behind them. And when that happens, it's just playing catch up. And guys like David Akam, Patrick Nyarko, Gilberto, when he drifts out wide, he can find those gaps as well. The Chicago Fire are a tough matchup for the Red Bulls.
Tough matchup. We'll see what happens. Would love to hear from Red Bull fans how you're feeling about this one. A little bit nervous, confident. I know there's a big group of them going down to Toyota Park here, so. Every time you talk about the Red Bulls and a trophy, I just kind of start to get nervous.
And this is the type of situation that sets itself up for losing to a Chicago team that's going to round out the bottom of the MLS standings on the last day to drop the Supporters Shield.
Be a nice feather.
There's
in the
a
hat
term
the
that some fans use that I'm not familiar with, so I don't know it. That would come out, I think, of some Red Bulls fans' mouths if that is what happens. But I don't think it is.
Well, look, if they don't get a win, if they tie, if they lose, whatever it may be, the door will be open for FC Dallas playing simultaneously, of course, hosting the San Jose Earthquakes. The Earthquakes are trying to get in the playoffs, as we've mentioned as well. They will clinch, here we go, if they win at FC Dallas and one of these things happens. Portland lose against Colorado, Seattle lose or tie against RSL, and then there's this whole combination lose-tie stuff with Sporting Kansas City. Basically, if Sporting Kansas City lose or tie against L.A., or if they tie and Sporting loses against both Colorado and L.A. So one of those things has happened. If Sporting lose and San Jose tie,
right.
I mean, look, just go look.
So
at
San Jose is 1 point behind KC and Sounders and 3 points behind Portland. So they need to win, and they need things to go right in front of them.
They need to tie, and they need Sporting Kansas City.
Right, that's
to,
a whole convoluted thing that...
Yeah,
I think there's a
lot
there.
There's a
lot
there.
It's not that convoluted.
Let's talk. It gets more convoluted when you're trying to say it. I know I'm struggling with these a little bit. Just go check out the scenarios in MLS soccer. Let's see. This game is maybe the most important out west because of the Supporters Shield implications, because of San Jose and how it affects all these other teams. If San Jose loses, everybody else is basically they're in, right? I mean, so that's an important distinction to make. Does San Jose have a chance here, Matt? They're on the road at Dallas. Dallas with everything to play for. Is it possible?
And everybody healthy? No. I think San Jose is dead. They have no Anibal Godoy for this one, and he's been the key to their much more competent second half of the season. I just don't see how they're going to shut down the passing angles that Mauro Diaz creates, and I don't see this as anything but a Dallas win.
And Victor Bernardes will be back in this one, but he said Godoy out, and I think that's not the trade-off that Dom Kinnear would really make with Alash and Godoy in midfield. It hasn't happened very much, but they've been unbeaten, I think, in like three games that they've played together at center mid.
Godoy,
I will say this: the one thing again is the same formula that Colorado will use is just defend in a low block and play for set pieces, because with Clarence Goodson, Fatai Alash, Bernardes, and Wando, the Quakes have a bunch of guys who can really, really hurt you on restarts. And in Quincy Amarikwa and Matias Perez-Garcia, they have two of the guys who are best in the league at drawing fouls. So I think if it's going to happen for San Jose, that'll have to be the path.
And we got a cool email. Apparently, the Seattle Sounders loan out the supporter shield to youth clubs in the area to take pictures with during practice and stuff. Some fan of ours emailed us telling us that she was at one of her kids' practices and she just saw the supporter shield laying on the side of the field next to a bunch of water bottles.
That won't happen next year.
No,
you know why? Happen. Because there's just one supporter shield, and the Supporter Shield Foundation takes it back and gives it to the winning team every year. You don't get to stick that thing in your trophy case. You don't get to make copies of it. No replicas. Only one team will get it for 2015. It'll be the Red Bulls or FC Dallas.
Which means one of those fan bases can get married at the stadium and have the Supporters Shield in the background.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Only one man will lift the golden boot. That's probably going to be Jovinko. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe Robbie Keane could go off in Kansas City. Very unlikely. Probably the Audi golden boot going to Jovinko. And, of course, four playoff spots up for grabs in MLS on the final day of the regular season. Hashtag decision day. Follow with us on Twitter. Follow at MLSsoccer.com. We will wrap it up on Monday. Until then, though, we're going to the mailbag. There are some awesome, and I mean awesome, MLS Halloween costumes to share with you.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. Leave it up, Dave. Leave it up.
Let's was going to say, don't talk, Weeby. I just want to listen to the Monster Mash.
That's what we were waiting for. Back now on ETR, SiriusXM FC Channel 85, MLSsoccer.com. I'm Andrew Weeby with me, David Goss, Matt Doyle, as always now. I think we can say that. Simon Borg is, he's not dead and gone. He's out there. But you know what is dead and gone, I think?
The scoreboard.
And we'll get to that in just a little bit when we're talking
about. We did get a tweet, by the way, of someone asking when they missed Simon's last episode.
That's a good one to
There wasn't actually an official one.
Yeah, we didn't really have like a goodbye.
Well, he will be back in and out still.
Yeah, I assume so. It wasn't unceremonious. You know, Matt, you bring a little bit something different. If you had to articulate how you're different from Simon, how would you do that?
I think I have Zazz.
Like, is that the end of pizzazz? That's like if you don't have the
zazz.
You think Simon lacks Zazz?
I think Simon lacks Zazz, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Fighting words. That's... I never thought anyone thought Simon lacked Zazz.
No, I thought, I mean, if anything, he had
an overabundance.
Yeah,
I agree.
Too much Zazz. But, you know, that's your armchair analyst for you. He'll give it to you in his own special way. Of course, check out his preview for the weekend as we get closer to, shall I say it again, hashtag decision day. But there is some other news in CCL. All the group stage games are done. That means the quarterfinals are set. Those come in February from the 23rd through the 25th. That's when the first leg of those series will be played. And it is all Liga MX MLS, I believe for the first time. No Costa Rican teams in this one. Here are the matchups for you. The first seed, Club America against the Seattle Sounders. That is a clash of titans. That one ought to be very, very interesting. The two seed, DC United, who we now know have figured out the CCL. They know how to get those results on the road in crazy places without their first team. They're going to take on Querétaro. That's a matchup there. We'll go to you here, Dave, for some Liga MX analysis.
Just a second.
RSL Tigres, and then Galaxy Santos Laguna. The Galaxy tying on a last-second goal earlier this week. RSL winning. That's what puts them into the 3 seed and the Galaxy into the 5 seed. Who's got the easiest matchup for you, Dave?
Who has the easiest matchup?
Yeah,
sorry,
as far
I didn't
as
think
MLS
that's how you were going to go about it. I'd say DC United does. I think Tigres and Club America are buzzsaws right now. Tigres almost winning Copa Libertadores, going out, bringing in Gignac, along with a range of other players who have some quality experience. I think LA has a chance. You kind of expect that if you're in that 5-4 spot. And LA has experience. Giovanni Dos Santos, of course. It would be interesting to see if he gets some support on the road in Mexico. If maybe the crowds cheer a little bit differently. It's less intense or less miserable for MLS teams. I don't know, but it should be, all four of them should be fun matchups.
Think they got a chance, Matt? Who's getting through? If you had to put some money down months in advance, I know there's going to be a transfer window that shakes things up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's so far away. It's tough to predict, but just on from what we know now, I'm right there with Gas, man. I think it's DC who's got the most favorable matchup, and probably followed by LA, but get the feeling that a couple of these teams, including the Liga MX ones, could look a lot different in March than they do right now.
Which is very common in Liga MX.
You can just make that. Just make that one a guarantee. Yeah. These teams will change. The faces will change. The matchup will change. The fact remains, though, these are the teams that made it through the group stage and are on their way to the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. Major League Soccer still searching for that first ever title in this competition. So their next chance comes next year, 2016, February. Wait around. Let us know who you think. Who has the best chance? DC United fans, I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear that we're thinking it's you. So bring it to us.
Bobby Boswell got invited to the party. Oh, no. And then got hit all over the head with a baseball bat. That's how he described CCL.
Yeah. Speaking of parties, I think it was actually a 2x4, but yeah, continue.
Speaking of parties, let's get into this Halloween. We got a ton of responses. We got some really good ones, but Frank Grocia, who's a Revs fan, sent this in first, so he's getting credit. For those that can't get enthusiastic about finding a Halloween costume, you can go as allocation money. You literally dress however you want because nobody knows or understands what allocation money is.
Yep.
Go Revs.
Mm-hmm. There's another one that was a little bit of a different tweak on that. It was Returo saying that you have to be, you know, the whole allocation. Yeah, that's who you would go as. So that's an interesting one.
Ernesto Aguilar sent us the picture on Twitter. Just go as Bruce Arena drinking the champagne after the championship win. The ruffled hair, the LA Galaxy scarf, and just a bottle of champagne. It'll make you a favorite at the party. The way you don't become a favorite at the party, we got a tweet. Go to the party as Frank Lampard. Tell everyone you'll bring the beer, but only show up at the end of the night. That was very,
I think there's
going to
be a lot of people on Halloween that end up looking like Bruce Arena at the end of it without even trying. That's not even going to be an attempt from that. It's just going to be natural. What else we got? There was a bunch coming in.
Noel Ramirez had a good one. Ant-Man costume with a Jovinko jersey over it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. The Atomic Ant. Captain Morgan. I guess that's pretty fitting. Angry Caleb Porter on the sideline with Oscar Pereja's tissues. Maybe someone goes as the tissue.
Yeah, this is where you need to have your teammate or you know, the guy that, you know, it's kind of a double one. Maybe this is a couple one. I don't know who wants to be Oscar and who wants to be Caleb, but
that's
a good one.
We don't have to worry about that because we got people sending us ones that we could dress as together. You're Chelaney, I'm Luis Suarez with the blood on my mouth was one of the recommendations.
I did back in the day, 2006, I believe. I did. I was Zidane, and my friend was Marco Maserati. So I've done one of these before. Yeah.
Look at how soccery Andrew.
Yeah,
Levy
that was
is
right when I. That's right.
He got the name wrong. Maserati, not Maserati.
Did I say Maserati?
I have no
Whatever.
Idea.
Whatever. Yeah, that guy, he's practically anonymous at this point. Let's see. They're saying Simon Borg should just go as a straight-up red card.
Yep.
We have one that's Darlington Nagby. You show up, then you wow everybody for 15 minutes, then you get tripped by everybody, and then you disappear. So that one's a little bit harsh. We'll hope for him that's not the case
forward. I think this is one's funny. Aaron Bauer tweeted at us. He said, paper mache ghost of Thierry Henry attached to you that you just can't shake off your back. I think that's very
I think
fitting.
They're close to shaking it off this year.
Maybe.
Matt, here's one for you that you might enjoy from Benjamin Rock. You go as Klinsmann's tactics where you change costumes every half hour, but they only get worse.
Yes.
Pretty good.
I like
that's
that one.
Good.
I thought
I like
that one
that
was
one, yeah.
very
yeah.
good.
We got the Fabian Castillo as evil Pikachu. If you watched that video with Ariel Castillo, then you'll recognize that one.
Which, by the way, came in hard for Pikachu.
Yeah.
Like, as a Pokemon aficionado, like I am.
I was going to ask.
No one's that
is.
Big a fan of Pikachu.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was like not backing down. And she kept being like, oh, like, and he's like, Pikachu, Pikachu, Pikachu. And it was like, whoa, Fabian Castillo.
Not even a Blastoise shout
All
out
of a
there.
Sudden, he like pulls out his cell phone. He's just got a Pikachu cell phone case.
Here's one for you and Goss, Matt. One of you needs to be the water fountain. The other one's going to be LD.
It's more of a 2002 costume, I think, isn't it?
It's a TBT.
Bringing it back.
We got an email from John Farrer, and he said he thinks that players should dress up as TIFOs. And so he had Jermaine Jones as Indiana Jones because the Revs had that.
Yeah.
The current members of the crew dressed as the Village People in homage to their old crest. So Pipa is the construction worker. Kamara is the chief. Finley, the policeman. Parkhurst as the cowboy. And Will Trapp as the biker dude.
I don't think that was their...
I don't think it was either.
I don't... I get a little bit confused over who those crew guys were.
And the last two he sent us, Andre Pirlo as the most interesting man in the world, Dos Equis, and a collaborative effort of MLS teams in Lord of the Rings theme, Borchers as Gandalf, Jovinko as Frodo, João Plato, Barrios, and Teixeira as Frodo's friends.
Oh, boy. A little heightism maybe there. Look, we got about a minute here before we get out of here. What do we think, guys? We're going to have this. Let's just imagine. We're going to have the MLS Halloween party. This is like MLS Cup. We get to choose where it's hosted, though. Where right. are you putting it, Matt? Where does the MLS Halloween party, where is it going to go down the best?
I think it's going to end up being in Harrison. This is the year for them to get it there.
Nice.
This is the year, man. That'll be easy for us. Not a whole lot of travel. Maybe we'll have a live show if MLS Cup is in Harrison, where we jam like 15 people in the studios here and have some.
Gotta get Simon back.
Yeah, we do need to get Simon back. Maybe a little heckling. That could be nice. Where's it gonna be, Dave? Before we hit decision day, I know this is a long term prediction. MLS Cup. Where do you want it? Where's it gonna be?
Can I not say Harrison now that
yeah,
he
you
said
can
100%
Harrison? Not say Harrison. Yeah, I'd encourage you actually. If you said Harrison, I would pile on you for
right, which I wasn't about to do.
Okay, so where are you going?
I'm gonna say that it is going to be the StubHub Center.
StubHub Center.
It's
Harrison.
An easy thing to say.
It's on the coast. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of decision day. That's all we have here on Thursday. Hope you had fun going along with us. Have fun on Sunday as well. We'll see you after the weekend.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio. We'll be right back.